All right, let's go. All right. I want to talk about the game last night in Vancouver. I can't believe when I'm sitting watching the game right to the end. Demko, if Demko's not superhuman, it's not even close. I mean, they had over 40 shots.
They had over 50.
Yeah, but they had 40 shots the last two periods. It looked like, honestly, it looked like Vancouver wanted to lose the game. Yeah. Is Toronto that good that they can go in and pour over 50 shots? Demko was unbelievable.
Well, how many shots did Toronto have in Calgary? They had close to 40 shots. They had close to 90 shots and lose two games.
Yeah, but Calgary had shots too. I mean, they shot to 50. At home, Vancouver, 52-24, I think it was, something like that.
So is Travis Green sitting at home saying, if you played like that when I
was
coaching?
Yeah, Demko, yeah. Well, he just started to play like that, Demko, and they got rid of him. Anyhow, Demko was unbelievable last night. If he's not the best goaltender in the league, I'd like to know who's who.
So that's what you say. All Vancouver's got to do is sneak into the playoffs, and then and Demko gets on a roll like Price did.
He was unbelievable last night. Well, Andrew Hammond, Montreal picked up last night, picked up yesterday. This is Sunday morning, and you know, they better be very Hammond. If you remember him, he was a hamburger guy. Remember that, Tim? You were telling me a story.
Yeah, he played for Ottawa. He was 14-0-1. That was 14 wins.
And they call him the hamburger kid.
They called him a hamburglar. Yeah. Like in McDonald's, you know, the hamburglar. And people started throwing hamburgers on the ice. They went to McDonald's and threw hamburgers on the ice.
Yeah, have a little fun.
And then everybody got, oh, you're wasting food and how terrible that was and everything. And then they made him stop. All the people in Ottawa were mad that they had a little bit of fun and they had to stop it.
That's the way it goes. But Montreal better be careful. They're only 5 points ahead. They're behind. But I say they're ahead to get Shane Wright. And I think the second guy is Logan.
Yeah, he's Cooley. American. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, Dad. Okay, we got to talk about Montreal. They got rid of their coach and they hired Martin St. Louis.
Tom Duchesne and Kent Hughes made his first move. And Martin St. Louis, eh?
Yep.
Well, Martin St. Louis. I remember in Hockey Night in Canada, I used to call him Martin St. Louis and they'd get mad. But you know what I think they got him for? Just to be close to the players and say, who do we keep here? Who do we keep on the club? I think it's a smart move. And he's played before. I mean, he's won about...
he played over 1,000 games. He had 391 goals. Won the Art Ross Trophy twice, the Hart Trophy, Lady Byng twice. And but let me ask you, though, Dad. Like, he coached his kids' hockey and stuff like that. So, but you know, does that make
No, I know everybody's making fun of that. But I remember when I was in Rochester, New York, in the American Hockey League, or I guess I wasn't with anybody. I was unemployed, couldn't get a job. And Bob Clark, a guy down there, Bob Clark, they were really rich people. They live in Pittsburgh.
Not the Bobby Clark of Philly. It was another
guy. No, it's another Bob Clark. And it was in Pittsburgh. You remember Pittsburgh?
Oh, Pittsburgh, yes, outside of Rochester. As you said, that's where all the rich people lived.
Yeah, and he was one of the rich guys. And I said, no, I don't want to coach. I said, I've never coached him before.
So he offered you to...
Well, he said, well, you're not doing anything anyhow.
He wanted you to coach
the high school team. And yeah. I said, I don't want to coach.
You know the dynamics behind that, Dad, why he wanted it to. Because he had all his kids in Pittsburgh, they had a good public school system there and all this. But then they would play in a league against all the private schools, like Aquinas and McQuaid.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And you see, when you had the public schools in the same league as the private schools, which were Catholic schools, because, you know, in the States, you know, if you're Catholic, you want to do your religion in school, you pay for it. They had all the best teams. They had all the best equipment. They had all the best of everything.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. So
I'm glad you're telling me, Cindy.
Well, this was the truth. So this is what happened. It was a public school. And that's why the Clarks and all the people who eventually bought the Rochester Americans, remember?
Yes.
They wanted to beat the Aquinas and all the private Catholic schools. So they said, who could we get?
Well, I didn't want to do it. But anyhow, getting back to what we're talking about, I remember first time I was behind the bench with, you know, I said, holy smokes. But I learned how to put the lines together. I learned how to switch the lines. I learned the defense. I learned how to practice. I didn't learn. I've been in about 100 million practices, but I learned, and I did. And when I was made halfway, sometime I must go through this whole thing. When I was made, and then I made a comeback, and halfway through the season, I was made coach
of Rochester Americans.
And I knew exactly what to do. I knew how to change the lines. I knew. So when the people make fun of him because he coached some minor hockey, it really helped.
Yeah, like you were saying, that's where you learned all that stuff behind the bench.
I knew it all. I knew exactly what to do.
And remember, you kept on coaching the high school team, because remember a couple times we were going into the playoffs for Pittsford, and you were had to catch a plane for Rochester to go away. You were coaching both teams, the high school.
After a while that high school team. No, I tried to remember the names. It was Jay Hill was center.
Yeah, we talked about
Eddie Scott was a right winger. Al Vivaberg and John Hoff was on the point. And
Parker, the goalie.
Parker was the goalie. And Knisley. He was the smartest guy of them all. And boy, you put that puck in. We used to feed that point, and I used to call them screamers. About 6 inches off the ice or along the ice. If the other team got a penalty, it was automatic.
Yeah, but the reality was you weren't the coach, because a teacher had to coach, right?
The woman gym teacher, Nancy, she had to be.
I forgot about all this.
Yeah, she had to be.
She had to be the real coach.
She was officially the coach.
Oh, yeah. And we had a picture taken.
Because the thing was, she had to be in touch with the kids to keep their grades up.
But you had to be a teacher.
You had to be a teacher, and the whole deal, it was really quite.
So I remember when we'd come to practice, she'd be in the stands reading a book.
I remember her. She was a nice person,
too. She was really nice, and she kept the kids in line, too, you know, with keeping up their studies and the whole
deal.
Boy,
I tell you, though, you get a penalty against us, you're done.
But remember the first year when the little kids were in ninth grade, you lost every single game. The first year.
And the second year, I lost in overtime. Remember that?
Against McQuaid. Oh, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, and the third year.
Third year, in their junior year of high school.
And I remember the guy, I think it was Aquinas High School, not that this means anything. The guy quit for that year. We were smashing.
The coach Aquinas quit because he didn't want to get beat, because he was like the big stud.
He was the
coach.
Big cheese again of the league. And
anyhow, I don't know how we got into that.
If we were Martin St. Louis, what do you do? Like,
well, I wouldn't do anything. I'd just take a look at the guys, and
so you write this year off.
This year is written off. They better be careful. I'm sure they want to get Shane Wright, and he's dynamite. And
I think the one thing with Martin St. Louis that people
what do
you
win? What do you win? Holy smokes, he won.
Well, say he won the Art Ross twice, so scoring title, right? So and then he won Conn Smythe, Hart Trophy twice.
Well, I remember Babcock.
Yeah, in the Olympics.
Yeah, in the Olympics. He said, I don't want him. And he says, I've got a style I want to play, and that's it.
Well, him and Subban. Yeah. That was 2014. And because I think what happened was Stamkos got hurt, so they had to get one more player. And the dynamics was Yzerman was the general manager of Tampa. And so everybody thought, well, St. Louis won like the scoring title. Yeah. and Babcock said no. So Stamkos had to go to St. Louis.
Just tell you what happened. They knew they were not wanted. I'm sure that. If I knew, and everybody else knew. So I was at the practice. I was overseas. Where was that? Russia?
Yeah, Sochi. Yeah, Russia. Yeah.
Anyhow, what was I doing over in Russia? But anyhow, I was there, and I saw him tell St. Louis and Subban that practice that, you know, you're not going to play. And Subban's pretty sharp. He just, you know, he just kept, and St. Louis went right off the ice.
And I don't think he played in a game though.
No.
And Subban got in one game or something like that.
Yeah, he played when.
Canada was so good.
So how did we get into this?
No, just talk about Martin St. Louis. I hope he does.
Martin St. Louis.
I hope he does well.
I hope he does well too.
Yeah. So, but you know, next year hopefully they get Price back and Weber back and.
Where'd they go? Did Price?
They're playing.
No, I don't know about Price. I wonder about Price. I'm just wondering if I hope I'm wrong, but because I remember in the prospect game he was dynamite. He was absolutely fantastic, and he can play like that. But if you know things aren't going right for him, it's too bad.
Well,
$10 million.
Yeah, Montreal's playing three coaches now.
Yeah, he's playing. They're playing Julian.
$5 million.
$5 million, and they're paying Ducharme.
Was $1 million.
You think they're paying Price?
They're paying him all right.
Yeah, but I think if he's on long-term injury, I think insurance pays it or something like that.
But anyhow, you've got this guy who potentially could be the best goaltender in the National Hockey
League. And you can't trade him.
Oh, nobody. I mean, would you trade him $10 million? And you'd
Let's say Montreal eats $5 million of this contract.
Well, I don't know about that.
But anyway, I hope he does well. I mean,
I hope they all do well. I hope Montreal does well. You think I'd be against them. But I want to talk about the guy that I think is the best hockey player, who I like the best hockey player, is Marchand. He got 6 games.
I think he's been suspended. He leads the most suspended guy in the history of the NHL. I think he's got 8 suspensions.
Oh, that's a Jeopardy question.
And they said he forfeited over $1 million over that.
You know why, Tim? You know what I like about him? I know Cassidy said, and you know, Cassidy didn't really knock him, but he kind of knocked him. But he's my favorite hockey player because he cares. He cares about the game. Here he was losing. And he punched them. First of all, I'm watching it pretty close. The goaltender, what was it, Jerry?
Jerry.
Yeah. He had the puck, and he was going to throw it to a Boston fan, and he knocked the puck out of it. He took the puck out, knocked the puck. He doesn't like Jerry. And then he punched them with bad enough and punched Jerry near the end of the game. They were losing.
The thing that got him suspended was he...
The stick. He hit him with a stick. But I know he shouldn't have done it. Cassidy's right. It was an emotional thing and everything, but he's my type of player, boy. And he cares. And I see the guys before the game laughing and joking. I see them laughing and joking. Now they're losing. They really don't care.
But
he cares. He reminds me of an old player. Yeah, old
they laugh and joke, but we're the same. Not in the playoffs.
No, but you know what really I scare? And I've said it before on this show. That someday... The referees are going to start calling them the same way they're calling them now. And I have to laugh. The guy, who, me? Like, and you know, before they used to do that before all the time, but now they really mean it. Who, me? What happened? And he said, you got it for hooking. And
guy who has the hardest job is a replay guy to show
you know,
penalty.
And the referees know. By the way, I have to say, watching the Olympics, the referees here know they know different, but if they want to keep their job, but the referees are good over there, aren't they? And the linesmen are good.
As they say, the world has gone crazy. I mean, 20 years ago, you'd say, why can't the international refs ref like the NHL refs? And now you're saying, why can't the NHL refs ref like the international refs?
Boy, I counted last night that there would have been about five, and in one period, there would have been about 5 icings. You know, the guys now, if they, if they, By the way, I there's so many things I got to talk about on here too. You know what gets me is, you know what really, you know, I just don't understand. I'm sure somebody can the guy, say it's the score is 5-4 with a minute to go. The guy's just iced the puck trying for the net.
Yeah.
And if you're an opponent, what you want is a face-off in the other team's end, like the team that's losing.
Like, that used to be an ultimate sin.
Yeah.
And now it's just...
But they all try it.
Well, because I remember, I think we talked about it once before, but you were playing Boston and they were playing Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
And who was?
Oh, what happened
was... We were up 3-2 or something like that.
We were up 3-2 is absolutely right. And I had 30 seconds to go. And we aced the puck. We were like 2 feet from the red line. And the game would have been over. And so after the game, I said, And Mickey Redman got the puck.
Right.
And he let a shot go. The guy, if you just took the puck and just threw it, and, you know, boy, did he let that shot go. I'll never forget that.
But the coaches don't seem to reprimand the players when they're going for the goal.
Absolutely.
And I can imagine that player, when he came back to the bench, heard about it from you, trying
to be
selfish.
Like Tim says, it seems as if it's accepted now.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up now and use the promo GRAPES, you get they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 10 spins on the big wheel, and if you get 3 of your jackets, you get big dough. And they spot you $25 for your first sports bet. And I imagine they'll be very busy because today's the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so
today
they say more money spent a bet today than any other day.
I don't think it's quite the same. I would have liked. I know. I'm just.
Yeah,
a
you know, you would have liked to see Brady or Mahone and all that, but it should be interesting.
It should be good.
But Dad, the other big news in hockey was Dave Tippett and the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, and Jay Woodcroft. Who is that guy? He was an assistant coach. He played 6 years in the minors, which I kind of like. Assistant coach for the Sharks for 7 years. Oilers assist for 3 years. And he went down and played, and he was a coach. When you're assistant, Cindy, and Tim, everybody comes to you with all their problems, and the head coach is a bad guy. You have to be a head coach. And he went down to the American.
So what did they do when you were coaching the Bruins and you didn't have an assistant coach? They just bitch among themselves, or?
I don't know. I never thought of that. They
went to Schmatzy. Go to Don and
yeah,
tell
him. Yeah, go to Schmatzy, I guess, and. If you want to.
So you've said that before, though. You said that if a guy's an assistant coach too long, and you have to learn.
Yeah, you have to be in a.
Plus,
you
get a reputation, right? He's a good assistant coach, but not a head coach.
So he went down and coached the Condors in Bakersfield and for 3 years.
He won the Calder Cup.
And he won the Calder Cup in 2020. But the guy behind the bench is, and I feel sorry for Tippett, but he's kind of happy. And it's a funny thing. He got fired after a game where he had 40-some shots
against Chicago, but they lost. You could tell the players were.
Anyhow, the guy he's going to have, I hope, behind the net. Well, I hope so. It's Dave Manson.
Behind the bench, yeah.
Oh, boy. He was one of my favorites. Remember the fight he had with Simmons? Stevens. Remember the fight?
No. Well, he was at one time. He was probably one of the most feared guys in the league.
Oh, boy. I remember, now that I'm into it, I remember he was off the ice one time, and he was just going off the ice.
It was in Toronto. There was a big fight.
Yeah,
it was a big fight.
And he was just about to step off, and I said, well, no, he won't get spent for that.
Well, what happened was, so there was a big fight, and they were, remember, behind the net in Maple Leaf Gardens. So he had 1 foot off the ice and 1 foot on the ice, and then the big fight broke up again and he turned around and joined the fight.
Yeah.
And then you and Ron came on and Ron says, well, I think he's going to get 10 games.
No, he's not getting 10 games. Boy, that was a good fight.
And then he did, though. He did get suspended.
So when, he got the 10 games.
So when you used to say to Ron, oh, are you trying to get another guy suspended? Is you were referencing?
That's right. I remember he said after the thing, see, way to go. You buried him, right? Now the NHL's got to do it.
No, he's got to give
him. But we had him on the Grapevine show.
Yeah, right? And he talked like that. And folks, I'm going to talk like, this is how he talks, because he got a puck on his throat. I thought he'd get it. And I said, boy, they better listen to him, because he doesn't. They're going to have the tougher... There's a tougher guy behind the bench than...
Dave, he might scare guys on the other team.
Anyhow, tell us about the time he flew to the Grapevine.
Yeah, he was out west, and he flew to the Grapevine, and I think he took like 16 hours to get to the Grapevine. He came in just before we were taping, and he was all... you know, kind of disheveled and but it was funny though. He could barely talk, and he got hit with a puck and it cracked his like vocal box or something like that.
I thought he'd get that fixed. I guess
I don't know if he still talks like that or not.
Well, I think I saw him interviewed. He's still.
But it's funny though. Like I remember listening to some of the guys on TV, some of the play-by-play guys or color guys, and they were talking, and when. They bring up, because his son plays for...
Yeah, son is really good,
and
too.
And, you know, there's a lot of teams trying to get him, because he's... Yeah. And they go, oh, I remember his dad, and everybody just like, oh, you didn't want to cross him.
and you know, another big thing I should have mentioned when I talked about Marshawn, well, Tuukka Rask has retired, too. Yeah. They're going to have a tough time. I thought he'd come back and play like... He was mediocre when he came back. I thought he'd get a lot better.
Yeah, he had a tough last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
You know, like he was injured and his hip didn't go. It's too bad. But
now, don't forget, and one of my favorites too, Craig Berube got a 3-year extension on his contract, which is pretty good. He took the last place club when he took over. They were in last spot, and he won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So if you were... you know, Jay Woodcroft, like, what do you do with Edmonton?
Well, first of all, it's going to be a new look to him, and I think that he knows what's going on. And the first thing I'd do is try to get the goaltender straightened around, and I would try to get a new goalie.
That's not him. I keep saying, you know, people laugh, and I was saying, if I was him, I'd go after that Spencer Martin in Vancouver, because, you know, you get him for a song.
Yeah.
He's not, well, you know, he'd be under the cap because he's not making much. And
they might not want to let him go.
But, and he could be another Billington.
Remember we saw him play, Tim?
Well, he was, as they say, he was one of the best, goalies at that age I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So yeah, he was like a guy about 40 years old. He could just kick him out. And
every shot, he never let up a rebound.
No. You know, I thought last night, I shouldn't be saying this here. I thought last night Ron would say something. I know I'm verboten. You're not supposed to mention my name on television and that. But I used to talk about all the time I was in Boston. I never wanted a high shot. Unless you get in close, you put a high shot. I never liked that shot in the breadbasket. I used to call it the breadbasket. And last night, there was a perfect goal. I'm not even going to say it. It was a perfect goal. The guy shot it and was right along the ice, and the guy gave a rebound. It was in Vancouver game. It was a winner. It was an absolute winner. And he zinged it. He put it right along the ice. Bing, bang, bing. And that was my – I used to talk about that all the time. And never mentioned it.
So, Dad, the Olympics are on. We just watched Canada beat China this morning. And
tell me about that, Tim. Tell me about China. I didn't quite understand.
Well, they have a lot of... I think they got half are Canadian, and there's a bunch of Americans and Russians. I think because they're the host team, they had to have a team in, and then I think they kind of... They let them go. But the one guy that's on there is Chris Chelios' son.
Yeah.
And when Chris was on the Grapevine show, I think his name's Jake... was just born, and we had him on the show. Remember, he was a little...
He kept hiccuping.
He was holding him while he was on camera. It was so cute.
Yeah. So they're mostly, I think, like Chris plays for the Chinese team.
So anyhow, we're beating them.
But, you know, again, the women won 11-0. And we were talking, and you came up with the idea. You said... When we used to go out, and when we go out and watch the GTHL games, if a team's up 5-0 going into the third period, it's straight time.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of demeaning to the other club, but it's better than getting whomped if you run into a
right. And then what happens? You could see if it's a good referee, like they'll call a lot of offsides, they'll call a lot of icings, and then they call a lot of penalties. But I remember one time you and I were at a game, and I remember it was at Icelands in Mississauga. And it was a young kid, and he didn't know what he was doing. And the Marlies were running up to score on the Rebels, and they had a big rivalry. And the Rebels started to, you know, it was just, they were starting to hit. But the referee kept giving penalties to the Rebels, and the Marlies were scoring goals, making the score even bigger. And you know the way kids are, they're running, they're hooting and hollering. And you said that the referees, that's not the way to do it, right?
No, the other way is to do it, is to give it to the team that's winning. And you'll never have any problem there. I remember John McCauley, he was giving us four penalties in a row. And I looked at him and he's all right, that's enough. But you're right. They used to let, when they play straight time.
And the men's, they lost to the Americans, but they hit four goal posts. They played pretty good.
Well, they played pretty good in that game, man. The Americans weren't too happy after the game. They you know how they congratulate and jump around and all that stuff. They didn't that game because they know they hit crossbars and posts and everything like that.
How about Claude Julien though? He finally came out. What happened to him?
Oh yeah, I didn't know that till you told me. I don't know how you found out, but anyhow. That he was skiing. No,
they were doing something.
Sleigh.
Yeah, they were doing something in Switzerland to build team bonding.
Yeah, that goes a long way. He hit a tree or something.
A tree. It fractured his broke his ribs.
I wondered what happened to him.
His lung.
I wonder how the hell.
Like Sonny Bono.
Oh, well. He killed, didn't he?
I know. Trees when you're skiing. Look out.
Well, anyhow, Julien broke that. That's how he broke his ribs. He hit a tree slaying.
Yeah, that's it. So next week, Dad, we're going to talk about a friend of ours, Tim Wormsby. He wrote a book.
Oh, yeah, good Gold, sports writer.
And it was the...
What's it called? Gold?
Gold, and it's the behind-the-scenes story of the 2002 Salt Lake City Games.
Oh yeah. You know what I remember that? I remember Gretzky had a great speech. I want you to get that for that.
We'll get that because that was I think that was the first time that they let the NHL let the players go in the Olympics, like in modern times.
Yeah.
And it didn't start out very well for
the Canadians. Well, no, Curtis Joseph was in the net, and I don't want to mention the coach. And it was Pat Quinn. And Sweden had been playing. They've been playing together for, you know, all summer. And they were really, to beat the Canadians was really something. And they really hammered us, eh? I remember after the game, I don't know, we were all standing together, all the Hockey Night in Canada guys were standing together, and this American announcer walked by. He was with the fights. What? I forget his name. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was walking by, and he said, you guys aren't too happy about that. And I remember somebody had to say something back to him. I says, yeah, the Swedes win the big games.
Well, just to get into that, do you remember what happened was in that series in 2002?
Curtis Joseph.
He Pat Quinn kind of threw him to the wolves, right?
Well, what happened?
But with the Swedes, they're playing Belarus, right? And in the semi, in like the quarterfinals, and Belarus beat them.
Yeah. I looked up, I made sure of this guy, and I said, you see what you should, and he, I remember the guy, I forget the guy's name, but anyhow.
Oh, it's a great book, and.
It is a great book, and.
I'll get Gretzky's speech, because.
Yeah, get Gretzky's speech.
What is this, as good as Phil's?
No, it wasn't as good as Phil's. No, there's never been a speech in hockey.
I'll get both of them.
Oh, get both of them.
Yeah, and you can hear them, because I think those are maybe the two best speeches in hockey.
Well, Phil's was the best.
And the whole thing was, I remember you talking about the Gretzky, was they got him right after the game. And what happened was, well, I'll get into it, but he was hot. And they got him right after the game, and he couldn't cool down.
Oh,
yeah. And he just kind of, you could see him working himself up into a frenzy as he was listening to the inane questions.
What did we do? We'll play Phil's first.
We'll play Phil's first, and that was after... They lost in Vancouver, and they were booed in 72.
Yeah, and they were being booed all over, but in Vancouver especially, and that's for cash, I would say. But anyhow, it was two great things, and it's a great book, and we'll talk about it next week.